Nehemiah chapter number 6. Start reading there, verse number 1, once you find your place. So the verse number 1, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Geshem, the Arabian, the rest of the enemies, heard that I had built the wall, and there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. And that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. I tell you right there, that's not a good idea, the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it, and come down to you? Yet they sent to me 4 times after the sort, and I answered them the same manner. The Lord sure has been blessed in New Hope Baptist Church. If you haven't seen it, you haven't been looking. You've been faithful. God has sent an increase. I'm thankful to get to be a part of that. I don't count it. It's nothing I've done. I promise you it's not. Nothing I've done. It's what the Lord's doing. I think we're experiencing part of what it mentions over in John chapter number 4. I read this earlier. It says verse number 35. See not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Then in verse number 38, it says, I sent you to reap that wherein you've sowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. I believe a reaping seed that has been sown for a long time. Men have come before me, and I've preached and taken a stand for Christ. I've been a witness in this community, and now we're reaping the increase. And I'm thankful to get to be a part of that. There's nothing I've done. New Hope, we best get to harvesting. The fields are wide in the harvest. We better get to harvesting while it's there. They're white already to harvest. You just got to go tell them. Got to go pick it out of there. You get them here. I'll do my best to preach to them and tell them the truth. If you'll get them here, I can't invite them all in. I can invite as much as I can, but I can't bring them all. Some will listen to you. They won't listen to me. You get them here. The fields are wide already to harvest. You got to get them in here. I'm going to challenge you to do that. The harvest is plenteous, but labors are few, it says. Invite them in. Lord has saved 3 so far. Is that enough for you? I don't know about you. It's not enough for me. I want to see God do some great things. Not to put them on my account, because I told you, nothing special. I don't think it's anything I've done. Not just to build a bigger church. I want to see some souls saved. I want to see Greg, Alaska, turned upside down. I think Lord can do that, and Lord can use New Hope Baptist Church to do it. Lord's doing something here. Miss Arlene said this morning, when she tried to say it, she couldn't get it out of her mouth. He said, we've got a hold of, I can't get it out of my mouth now. We got a hold of the small end of something really big. And I think we do here. We've got a small part here. I'm thankful to have a small part in what God's doing. All that being said, the devil's taking note of that just as much as the Lord is. It has not gone unnoticed to Satan. He knows what's going on. He sees what's going on just as much as the Lord does. That's why it's so more important than ever that we keep our guard up. Keep our eyes open, because temptation is going to come. The devil's going to do everything he can to get in this church and break up this church and make a mess in this church, make a mess in our homes. If the Lord is using this church, the devil does not like it. He's going to do his best to put a stop to it. We've got to be careful. Got to keep our eyes open. The Lord's talking to preach a little while, in just a few minutes, nothing too complicated, just a few minutes on too busy to come down. We know this passage of scripture here, Nehemiah has come back to Jerusalem. The king miraculously, the Lord allowed it to happen, has given him leave of being his cupbearer, leave of his cupbearing duties, and allowed him to go back home to Jerusalem to rebuild the cities there. He's a slave. He's in captivity, and the king has allowed him to go back to his hometown, rebuild the city. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's starting building the walls. He's moved because of the condition of his home. Not only moved emotionally, moved physically. He's done doing something about it. He's moved spiritually. I talked about that some a couple Wednesdays ago. Not only seeing the burden, but doing something about it, taking part in it. Nehemiah has done that. We can turn Zion upside down for God if we're willing to be used. We can see the need all we want, unless we take part in it, it's not going to happen. That's what I preached a couple Wednesdays ago. So they're building their wall. These enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they send a letter to Nehemiah and tell him to meet them in the plain of Ono. They want Nehemiah to come down, just have a little chat with them, supposedly. Nehemiah and us both know they wanted to harm him. The Bible tells us that. That's what they're trying their best to get rid of Nehemiah, because they see him building the walls back up. So he sends back 4 or 5 times and says, and he tells them, I'm doing a great work. Why should I stop the work to come and talk to you? Why should I quit what I'm doing to come talk to you? I think there's a principle here in this passage of scripture. If we get a hold of it, can help us, can help our homes, can help our church, help churches across our country. I think we get a hold of this, the Lord can use it. Satan will come and he'll send invitations out over and over again, try to get you to come down out of the work, away from the Lord's work, come down and talk to him for a little while. He'll try his best to tempt you into stepping out of God's will just a minute so he can speak to you for just a few minutes. He's out to do you harm, just like his enemies were here. The devil's going to send us invitations to get out of the work. If we're not careful, we'll give in to those. We'll come down off the wall. I'm preaching tonight just a few minutes on a few different examples, those invitations we might get from Satan. So what are some of those invitations? Number one, we ought to be too busy to argue. If Satan give you a temptation, give you an invitation to argue, you've got to be too busy to take part in it. It says in Job 6:25, how forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? You go back down south, there are more churches splits over dumb stuff than anything important. The church is on every corner, and a lot of those, not because there's so many people going, it's because they can't get along. If you don't like a church, you go around to another church. I'm glad we don't have that problem here. You go to another church, you got to change religions. Anyway, people down south, they get mad over the new carpet going in the building, or Susie doesn't like this new Sunday school teacher's mannerisms. Stupid things. People argue over dumb things. Satan will do his best to send you an invitation to come down out of the world's work, start an argument, and mess up the Lord's work, mess up the church. So-and-so doesn't like the songs being sung. Church, if we're busy about the Lord's work, busy on the same goal, bringing lost souls in so they can hear the gospel and get saved, we don't have time to argue over the dumb stuff. Don't listen to the invitation to argue. We are a family here, and families never will all get along. Never all get along. You're not always going to like what I say. I'm probably not going to like everything you say. It's just the way it is. We're all human. I say dumb things. You say dumb things too, whether you admit it or not. We're all human. We're all a family. We're not always going to get along. But it's important that we are aware that Satan's going to try his best to put little things in, ruffle our feathers any way he can, to start our, give us an invitation to come down off the wall and have an argument. He'll do his best to break up the church. You can split a church over the dumbest little things. We ought to be too busy to argue, too busy about the Lord's work to worry about the small things, too busy to argue. Number two, we ought to be too busy to gossip. It says in Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Hey, I heard Mr. John over there got a bonus down at the grocery store. Well, I didn't see him put any money in the offering plate. Did you see what she was wearing? That dress probably cost more than my rent. Did you see what their kids were? Did you hear what their kids said? I would never let my kids say something like that. Gossip. It's a dangerous thing. It hurts homes, tears apart homes, tears apart churches. If you have a problem with somebody, talk to them about it. If you got a problem with me, talk to me about it. I'm not above talking to. I'm not above making a mistake either. If you have a problem, gossip is not the answer. Do not take the invitation to gossip. Do not allow the Satan to bring you out of the Lord's work, get you out doing the Lord's work to gossip. It's a dangerous thing. I remember before another church we were at, we had a couple of ladies that were bad about gossiping. Always gossip about different people in church, always starting trouble. They go home and call each other on the phone and gossip about the church. They end up leaving it the same Sunday night over something dumb that was a lie in the first place. Gossip, it'll cause trouble. Split a church, get people out of church. It's a dangerous thing. It hurts churches, hurts families. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Don't let your loose lips keep the Holy Spirit from being able to be used in the church. Don't let the invitation get a hold of you. Don't come down off the wall for that invitation. Too busy to gossip. Maybe too busy to criticize. Matthew 7:3-5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote in thy brother's eye. It kind of goes along with the gossip thing. Worry about yourself. We have a saying at home. It's a video. Worry about yourself. We got to worry about yourself. Worry about yourself and what you're doing for God. Worry about your own things, your own home. Comparing yourself, if you compare yourselves by yourselves, you're unwise, the scripture says. Worry about yourself. You can point fingers all you want. What's that saying? If you're pointing a finger, it's three pointing back at you. Worry about yourself. Too busy to criticize. Don't try to be the husband or the wife or the parent of another home. You're just going to get yourself in trouble and cause trouble. You got to be too busy to criticize. It's not your place. You think you can do a better job at your house. Too busy to criticize. That's what we ought to be. We ought to be too busy doing the Lord's work to criticize others. Kind of the same thing again, too busy to judge. Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, you should be measured to you again. It's not our job to decide who's saved and who isn't. It's not our job to decide who's doing wrong and who isn't. It's not our job. It's the Lord's job. There's a lot of people throw this verse out there and judge not. Talking about they want to be able to sin, want us to not judge them. And because of that, we look over this verse a lot of times. That's still scripture. That's still Lord's words for us. Judge not, that you be not judged. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about their testimony. You worry about yourself. So like I said a minute ago, we ought to be too busy to judge everybody else. I would be too busy to suspect. Proverbs 23, verse number 7. For as he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. It's kind of verse is kind of a strange and kind of hard to understand. It's talking about someone who says what they don't mean. It says, eat and drink, he saith to thee, but in his heart, he doesn't mean it. He is not with thee. In other words, like when someone comes to your home, they're coming late, and you want to go to bed, and they come to your knocking door, you say, oh, come in, come sit down. When you know, in fact, you don't want them in your house, when they're out of there. Don't act like you've never done that. I know you have. Take your halos off. We've all been that way. Or like back in the South, everybody says, bless your heart. They don't mean that. Some, I've heard, there's a preacher says, he says, oh, bless them. You know, that means you're stupid. That's what that means. My point is this, it's not our job to suspect what one's heart is saying. It's not our job to worry about what everybody's thinking about. I've had trouble with this too myself. You can, so-and-so said this, but I wonder what they're really thinking. So-and-so did this, but I wonder what they really meant. They told me they liked this, but I wonder what they really thought. It's not your job to suspect, not your job to worry about whatever everybody else is doing or where everybody else's heart is. Make sure your heart's right. Be too busy to suspect. Be too busy to care about what everybody else's heart thinks. Do your work for the Lord and let them do their work for the Lord and don't get in the way. We are too busy about the work of the Lord to worry about and suspect what someone else is really thinking you ought to be. You drive yourself crazy over it. Don't worry about it. If I tell you good morning, I'm glad you're here. I promise you that's what I mean. Good morning, I'm glad you're here. Don't worry about it. Don't suspect other people's intentions. Just going to drive you crazy. Just going to get you out of the Lord's work, cause trouble in the church, and grieve the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work. Don't suspect. Don't be too busy to suspect. Lastly, be too busy to complain. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And that's the big one right there, at least for me. Too busy to complain. I don't know about you, but I got in trouble a lot as a kid for complaining, for back-talking my mom. I got backhanded a lot of times, my tail whooped a bunch of times for back-talking, complaining. Maybe that's just me. I didn't know when to shut my mouth a lot of times. I think a lot of people nowadays still know how to shut their mouths a lot of times. Complaining. You kind of expect that out of kids, but you see it in homes, in marriages, constantly complaining back and forth, constantly bickering back and forth, complaining about the work, complaining about the home, complaining about the work in the church, complaining about the people in the church. You got to be too busy to complain. Satan, when you use that, probably more than any of these others, he'll put complaints in, he'll send you an invitation to complain, and we're real quick to snatch it up and do it. You best be careful. We saw just this morning how Paul was imprisoned. He's in prison many times, over and over again. He was beaten many times just for doing his job, just for doing what I'm doing right now, preaching. You don't see him one time in Scripture complaining about it. If he doesn't complain about the Lord's work, what's our excuse for complaining about what the Lord has for us? I don't know about you, but I haven't seen any of you beaten on the street for preaching. I haven't been. We have no excuse to complain. Yet we whine and complain to God about the smallest of things, things that really don't matter. Satan will use that to get into the church, harm the Holy Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit so you can't do the work. You best be careful. You best be careful in allowing those invitations to come in and answer them back to you. If we quit worrying about so much about everybody else around us, if we quit worrying about what others think about us, what others are saying about us, if we quit complaining, I wonder what God could do. I wonder what God could continue to do. Nehemiah was too busy in the Lord's work to come down. We ought to be too busy, New Hope. We ought to be too busy doing the Lord's work to worry about everything else going on around us to harm the church. You've got to be careful. The devil's going to try now more than ever, more than he ever has, since I've been here anyway, to harm this church. The Lord's doing something here. We've got to be careful not to grieve it, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We've got to get busy about the Lord's work. We ought to be too busy to come down, too busy to quit, too busy to argue, too busy to gossip, too busy to criticize, too busy to judge, too busy to suspect, and too busy to complain. If we're not careful, we'll grieve the Lord's work, grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful to be able to be a part of this church, thankful to be able to be a part of what the Lord's doing here. Like I said a minute ago, I think the Lord's got big plans. I'm glad, like Ms. Arlene said, I'm glad to just have a hold of the small end of it. It's nothing I've done, but I can tell you if we're not careful, we can slip up and grieve the Holy Spirit in an instant. It doesn't take much. As a preacher said, the Holy Spirit's a great gentleman, the greatest gentleman there is. He'll come in, but if you grieve him, he'll leave in an instant. He's very easily offended. We best be careful. The Lord can do something here. We gotta watch out. The devil's going to try his best to stop it. He can do his best to put a stop to it. We got to keep our guard open. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for his people here. Lord, thank you for his church. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here in service again tonight. Lord, I know it's simple thoughts, simple words. Lord, I pray that my son would help this church. Lord, I pray you would quench the darts of the fiery darts of the devil, like Proverbs says. Lord, I pray you help us to do that. Help us not to allow his invitations to come in and take root. Lord, I pray us to guard our hearts. Lord, help our church. Lord, pray you use us. In Jesus' name, amen.